This is RSBNB Update, episode 493, recorded Friday, November 28th, 2014, The Infinite Loop. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. Another fabulous episode of RSBNB Update is incoming to you right this moment. Different things to discuss, and yes, that is Earth. He is here, as it is a quest week.
Ooh.
In addition to my normal co-host. Hello.
Hey.
I said hello.
So enthusiastic there.
I know. Anyways, so, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, this week is a very, very good week for us here at RSBNB Update, and you'll learn why at the end of the show. It's one of my favorite episodes to record of the year, and, more information will be coming at the end of the show. I can barely contain the excitement in that regard, but in any case, let us begin with Heart of Stone, the new Elder Gods quest.
Well, I just can't imagine what that would be, because I've been on before, and you've not done this introduction like that.
I know. Okay, wow. Heart of Stone.
I feel really neglected. But anyway, Heart of Stone, just what you have to deal with this man.
Oh, boy. That is not something that... is true. Anybody out there is wondering if that's the case. But anyways, thank you for your vote of confidence, Aerith.
Dealing with you sometimes, Shane, involves a nice big shot of tequila.
Oh, wow.
Rum.
Wow. Okay. Anyways, back on track. Heart of Stone. Requires 35 magic, 25 rune crafting to have completed that rather annoying quest known as Carnelian Rising, and of course, Rune Memories.
Was that the one where you had to make the quest?
Yes.
Carnelian Rising?
Yeah, okay. For the boy. And that's also the one with the...
It's the whip one.
Yeah, with the fantasy game thing.
Yay!
Anyways, yeah. I love how that's the first thing you mentioned.
But, I didn't say anything.
Well, no, he did. But anyways, so Heart of Stone starts off innocent enough at the Wizard's Tower, and we go on our quest to figure out what the heck Xenia and Ariane have been arguing about.
Innocently enough, they're about to kill each other.
Well, I mean, you walk up, and it's like, oh, this just looks like a normal argument, right?
No, it doesn't.
It did to me.
There's some earthbending.
Yeah. So all of your arguments involve, like, being ready to murder each other?
Well, no. I mean an argument as it would be on RS.
Ariane, then... How do you say her name?
Xenia.
Xenia? Are... about to kill each other at the beginning of the quest, and you can side with one of them or be like, whoa, stop, what's going on?
No, I don't think siding with one of them or over the other one made any real difference in this quest. I sided with Ariane. Who did you side with, both of you?
Trekkie.
I tried to break it up.
Yeah, I tried to break it up as well.
Okay.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. And Xenia, did she just shoot something at her and then teleport away,
yes,
right?
Yes.
She stasis her, so she couldn't do anything and teleported away. And then we get the golem.
Yep.
It was like a little android type deal, wasn't it? Kipple? Yeah, that's the guy's name.
Yeah, but how's that? Android?
Well, yeah, it made it sound like he was like an android, you know? Like, he's able to be programmed, and there's a whole engineering team that built them and everything. So,
yes,
also it should be noted that Kipple is a Philip K. Dick word.
What?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Kipple. Kipple.
Yeah, we know
is a word from one of Philip K. Dick's works that dealt with androids. So that's why I said android.
Oh, okay. So it's a reference.
Yes. Anyways, let's continue.
And by the way, that means kinesthetic investigation programmable personality lifeform emulator, or Kipple for short.
Yeah, let's just go with Kipple.
For Kipple.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And it's a golem that Ariane and other people, I guess, created, and it conveniently is able to it has a runic frequency modulator, which is technobabble for it can track spells and
AKA teleports.
In this case. So then you have to use that, and then there's a weird puzzle that the solution isn't exactly clear the first time you do it.
Are you talking about the frequency modulation or
the bouncy thing? There's like a ball that bounced.
Okay.
It went along the line and it bounced.
Yeah, that
you can explain.
Yeah, this
that.
Was kind of hard at the beginning to figure out what the little bouncy thing, as you call it, was. And you know, I think it would have been a lot better if they would have put like a trace on it so you could see that. Oh, this is like a line that's graphing the frequency of whatever you're doing, and you want to try and make the various runes have that frequency to it. So you got to turn these three dials. There's an area where you can have 3, 2, and then, of course, 1. So you, of course, are limited based on the positioning of the runes on these three wheels. So basically the idea is to say you need 6 of the water runes in there. So you can either go for 2, 2, 2 or 3 and 3, and there you go. And then from there you solve the other positions of the wheels. And in the same way, this is kind of the same way as a Celtic knot, the way they're interfaced to solving the Celtic knot on the treasure trails, in that once you get one thing figured out that, oh, okay, so now we know that the water is good.
Except
on this.
It can be changed.
Yeah. So
around even more. It was annoying because it's difficult to tell if you were just one off.
Yeah, and that's why I said the trace would be good.
Yeah, it was...
Quite honestly, for me, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just rotating. So I'm like, all right, this seems like a good thing to do. Did it work? No? Try a little bit more. Hey, it worked. All right, move on to the next one. Swear to God, that's what it is. Like, I'm just going to keep turning until the color changes correctly. All right, done. Like, I had a general idea of what was needed to be done, but I was like, let's just shut off brain for 10 minutes.
You know what really, I think, influenced this? And you might say I'm wrong with this, but this reminded me of a rotary phone.
Okay.
Because the way a rotary phone works is you have the numbers along the rotary, and then you pull it, and then it... And then based on the amount of time and whatnot, it sends that signal to the phone company. And then the people who are on the other end, the switcher, would know exactly where to go based on that. So it would, in essence, generate a certain tone that would be sent, and then those people would connect that call. So that's essentially what this is doing, except you're using it to find where the teleport went. The only thing you need to really be wary of is that if you're working at the far end of the left or the right of this little graph thing with the little bouncy ball on the frequency modulator, you just need to be aware, because sometimes if you have a higher one on the first column than on the last, it might look as though the one on the last is going up, because the little bouncy thing does go up before the next column. So just be aware of that when you're doing this. Anyways.
You'll get it. It sounds really terrible, but after the first time, once you figure it out the first time, the rest are easy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Completely agree. And you need to do this for a number of times. Now, each time you do this, you will end up finding a signal, and it will go to a specific place. Now, question. Was this signal the same for everybody in the way it had, in the way to where it sent you? As in, it sent me to White Wolf Mountain first. Is that the same for you guys?
No. I think so.
For me?
Where did you go first?
Really?
Where did I go? I went to Entrata first.
Okay.
I went there first, and then I think the order may switch, but the end result is still the same. You still do the same thing for every single one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where the spoiler alert for this quest begins. And, you know, we kind of knew about this in Fate of the Gods based on where the statues were gazing. But each one of these locations you sent to has an elder god residing underneath it. And you could, of course, tell this by various things in the Fate of the Gods quest. So the first one, of course, there's an elder god under Entrana. As you said, that was your first one. There's one under White Wolf Mountain, so that was mine. Then, of course, there's the Karamja Volcano, which is, of course, full for fire and lava, basically the creator of the Tazar people. So we knew that already going into it. And then, of course, at the end of the day, you do end up going to the desert. And you know who is in the desert? Jazz.
Jazzo?
No.
Jazzcra.
Yeah, Jazzcra. Yeah, it was interesting how they put the cra after all of them. Do you have any idea what that means?
That was the they said that it was the it meant that they were like the speaker.
Ah, yes, the mouthpiece.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Fulcra, Bikra, Wenkra, and Jazzcra. So basically, you need to go through each of these, and some of them have a puzzle, some of them have a combat component. Entrana, I think, is the simplest one. You just kill these little level 35 critters, and then there's a chance they'll turn into an unstable one. Then your golem friend, Kipple, will move them towards the big barrier that needs to be blown away, and then you light them up after that. Then they blow away, and then you can talk to Bic, or at least the mouthpiece of Bic.
Did that glitch for you?
No, it was all good.
Okay. Because it glitched for me, and I had to exit and redo it, because it just wouldn't work.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but it didn't take very long.
Full is one that is, of course, fire, being under the Karamja Volcano. So you do want to kind of do that one with either magic or ranged. And you want to
do magic the entire time. It's a lot better.
Oh, really?
Everything was weak
to air magic in the whole quest, right?
Yeah, I actually used ranged for this one. I didn't notice any issues.
Oh, I used ranged for everything.
For that one, it's fine. Near the end, it's easier if you do magic, but...
Oh, that last fight.
We'll talk about that. Go ahead.
No, I was...
Okay.
That was just an ugh.
So, yeah, Karamja Volcano, that's just a simple fire one that you keep them occupied while the android is negotiating something with Fulcra. White Wolf Mountain, and the idea behind this one is there's a power puzzle, and you activate a certain sequence of numbers to the
power puzzle. That one was weird.
And you will open the gate. Yeah,
there didn't seem to be any logical pattern. It was just, what's it called?
Trial and error,
yeah.
I mean, I was going to write down what each one did and, you know, try and figure that out. But, you know, by the time I thought I'd need to do that, I was through the thing. I got the first one on the second one on the first go, third one took two goes.
It was easy. You just have to activate and deactivate a bunch of stuff until you get to a number you want, and then you're done.
Yeah, the final number was 20. Is that the same, or is that different for everyone?
I haven't the slightest idea, probably.
That was 20.
Okay. And then, of course, Jazz. I think this was one of the more complicated ones. Dealing with memories.
Yeah, you get 20... What are those? Memories?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get 20 memories. And Jazz is really creepy, apparently. And is, like, watching you. Because we're important and stuff. It's still really creepy. Like, there's one of you asleep.
Yeah.
But I digress.
And then there was... Did you see the one about the duck?
Yep.
What one was that? I don't remember.
I don't know. They were all strange.
Yeah.
But you just... I didn't realize that you're supposed to combine them. So I just used... I just used the ones that seemed relevant on him at first, and then I was like, why are none of these working? So then I just went through all of them in order, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
And I was like, then I used two on each other, and I was like, oh, I'm stupid.
You combine them to get bigger memories, and then...
Then I figured it out, finally.
Yeah, and I mean...
It all connected together logically in my head, but not always... With,
yeah, and then it forms quite the interesting story, I think, at the end of the day, with this one. And rightly so, I think, given, you know, Jazz and the Stone of Jazz being one of the more, powerful artifacts that exist. So, you know, what did we learn from our conversation with all these Elder God mouthpieces?
That are napping. Getting ready to wake up.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. They're waking up or something.
Shutting up. Read, do it for me.
We're not, that needs to be covered at the end, but after you solve Jazz's puzzle and go talk to the person and get all the mouthpiece of Jazz. Then you do another one of the frequency modulation puzzle things.
No, that one's done by the android.
Oh, right. The last one, it finally does it by itself. But regardless, there's a final portal. And of course, it's in Lumbridge at the cemetery where Zinnia was before.
Yep.
And then you go to Lumbridge and you go through the portal, and then there's a boss, which is quite possibly the least intuitive boss. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. I missed the first couple pink things that you were supposed to destroy that came down from the ceiling, so I didn't exactly see that you needed to do that. But as it turns out, you destroy these little pink things. I forget what they're called.
Abyssal. Abyssal something.
Anyways. But when you destroy one of those, you ultimately end up weakening the armor on the prehistoric abyssal creature and allowing you to mage him down with magical air spells. And that's the whole idea of this quest, is that you're defeating this creature. And at the end of this boss battle, you learn something that is maybe a little bit creepy and not exactly for the best part of the world here. And that is that the whole action of you fighting this creature has started the waking process for the Elder Gods. And when the Elder Gods ultimately wake up, it's going to destroy huge portions of the world. And that is what Zinnia was wanting to do. She was wanting to wake the Elder Gods up in an effort to...
No, she was wanting to stop them.
Oh.
Right, but her method of stopping them was to get rid of all... Well, it's also getting rid of their food supply or power supply, which was every magical thing in the world of Glenanor.
So it would have gotten rid of all the runes.
All the runes, all the wizards, all any magic in the NRS, magical beings completely destroyed, etc., etc. It's kind of like how Halo did the whole Lucas thing.
Wait, say that again? Oh, with the Flood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually makes
Flood.
Sense. In Halo, the Halo arrays, spoiler, are designed to destroy all biological material with sufficient biomass, basically anything alive. The Flood are a parasite that infect everything, similar to the Borg, I suppose. They want to take over everything and assimilate them. Yeah. And that what the Halos do when they're activated, they destroy all life, thus starving the Flood of their food.
And this is exactly what Xenia wanted to do to kill off the Elder Gods.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
To kill off their food supply so they remain asleep and eventually die off.
Yep.
Yeah, but as I said, this action of fighting this abyssal has started the process to maybe just making them a little bit less sleepy. So that's a concern we have to be wary of.
I feel like that's just fear-mongering. I don't think they actually are going to do that.
Yeah, and
that's my prediction.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think, I mean, you know, fast-forwarding this quest line a number of years, hopefully not a decade, I really hope that it doesn't end in a way of, you know, the lower gods all...
kill everything.
All, you know, banding together to prevent the elder gods from just doing this and destroying the world by some great force of building up all the power of the lower gods to, you know, overcome that of the higher gods somehow.
Yeah, my prediction is Zaros is gonna go to them and be like, no, it's cool. Because what? They directly made Zaros or something,
now,
right?
Yeah, that's the way it works. Ma, the only elder god who was not mentioned, is the creator of Zaros and Saren.
Yeah, and Ma is on, oh god, what's that place called? Frenesque?
Yes. And
right?
These existing elder gods here don't exactly know where he or she ended up, I guess. You could call it a she. I'm not sure.
Ma sounds feminine because it's like mother.
But you know nothing like
so
that.
So I'm going
has
with female.
Been heard so far. But
that's my guess.
Yeah. So, and is that right?
Zaros is going to play a large role regardless.
So is that right that I inferred that the existing elder gods here, at least their mouthpieces, had no idea where Ma was, yet we know and we didn't mention it?
I don't know. I didn't pick up any implications of that.
Okay.
I don't even think she was mentioned.
No, she wasn't. Okay, so that's something that our player knows then, because Ma was a central part of Fate of the Gods. Okay.
Well, Fate of the Gods also wasn't a prerequisite to this,
no.
So we didn't necessarily have to know, but that's...
Yeah, you can't really count on that much, you know, making this an intermediate level quest and, you know, hoping people have done one of your biggest Grandmaster quests of the year, so that's understandable. So at the end of the day, Arion actually takes great action here and kills Xenia.
Woo!
Now,
it's not a woo moment, by the way.
Am I the only one that had a problem with this? From the point
of
producing it?
No. I did not like this.
Yeah, neither did I.
Was there an option to save Xenia?
No. End result would have been the same.
Okay, because I was annoyed because I was like, could I have saved her? Ugh.
No,
I don't like to kill anyone.
Yeah, it didn't
really come
up. I mean, there's an option to try and stop Arianne, but it doesn't really do anything in that way. I mean, this is just bad from a production point of view for me because Xenia was a signature hero, right?
Yeah.
So if we can go around killing off signature heroes willy-nilly
and gothics
in a quest like this, so what exactly does that mean? Yes, I understand gothics, but, you know, signature heroes were...
They actually did that very well.
Yeah. Signature heroes were supposed to be a large part of ongoing quest lines, and I guess Xenia's just really didn't matter that all all that much and then can just get killed off, right?
I mean, I guess it's just a significant move because as far as I could tell, she was looked up to by the other ones, except the raptor.
But honestly, in my opinion, I should have been the one to kill her. Because the thing is, my idea of it at the time was, all right, I need to stop her. And at the time, you know, you and Ariana are in panic mode. So you have to find a way to stop her. You try not to kill her, but it happens. And suddenly, you know, you reach out your arm to try and say no. But suddenly, if magical powers flow through your fingertips and you kill her or something like that.
That's stupid.
No. This is the first step.
Yeah,
no,
I agree.
The player has no... Let me finish, god damn it. Assholes. No, the whole point of that was to finally start unleashing your world guardian powers.
What world guardian powers? They can't just do that. That's a huge deus ex machina.
Why
not?
How many times have you been told that the world guardian's job is not to influence it? It's just to make sure everything is going on a-okay.
Screw that. I'm going to be Supreme Overlord Glimmer. I want the other gods to come up and destroy everything so I can rebuild in my new world order.
That would destroy you too.
No, they won't. I'll hide not? In a cave. Because I'll hide in
You'll
a cave.
You'll hide in a cave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'll save you. What a great plan.
Yes. I shall spend the next 3 centuries honing my magical abilities to defeat the Elder Gods. When I do, I shall rebuild.
And then you'll fail.
I won't fail. I'm the main character of RS. You can't kill off main characters. This is not
they killed off Gothics. They killed off Xenia. The character's probably next.
Hey. This is not Game of Thrones. You can't kill off the player. Unless you're a hardcore player.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Everyone turns into hardcore.
Anyway,
there we go.
I mean, like, we really shouldn't expect that much from this quest, you know, given it was voted on to just learn a bit about the other gods. And we did.
We learned nothing.
I mean, Just wait. The run-of-the-mill player did learn where they are and, in general, what they're associated with. Because remember, that thing after the fate of gods, it wasn't exactly a requirement in that quest. And there was no outright telling you, you know, go plant the measure in various parts around the world to figure out what's going on. That was something that the Lorehounds did and knew of. So while, you know, we feel that you and I and all of us here really didn't learn anything in this quest, I think the run-of-the-mill player would find this quest quite
No, the run-of-the-mill player just hit spacebar through all of the dialogues. Anyone who actually cared already knew.
Mm-hmm.
No, they read all of it and were annoyed when they already knew everything in it.
Yeah, that's probably true. I give you that.
You
can confirm.
I mean, you should be the one to answer this. People in Clan Quest, I mean, did they all go plant the measure after Fate of the Gods and learn about these
things?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, there's a group of players who just want the reward at the end and they'll skip through it and won't really care about the dialogue.
What was the reward?
Well, it was a novice reward. So, I mean, it's not like anything that important.
Special.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the day, just don't overlook the importance of this quest, because it is getting this on the ground, as it were, that the Elder Gods exist and they are part of the land masses on Elenor. And, you know, well,
none like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. Okay, so let's talk about that now, maybe, because the Elder Gods turned out to be land masses. We knew this after Fate of the Gods a bit. You know, for the longest time, it was thought that maybe Hans and Lumbridge would have been Elder Gods.
Yeah, that would have been great. That would have been a great way to do it, I think.
Hans.
Yeah, just having him there, because he's always been there.
Yeah.
And that would just be very, very fitting for him to be an elder god. And same with the oracle, because if I remember correctly, the original purpose of the oracle was going to be that you could go there and get, like, help with quests
yes.
and stuff.
Yes, that is true. And the oracle, I mean, how did the oracle end up on White Wolf Mountain when...
That was just a crazy place.
I mean, it should have been Ice
Mountain.
You
put an oracle
that we went
there.
On this quest. Because the oracle is Ice Mountain.
Oh.
We went White Wolf Mountain for the quest for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
What was the point of that?
Well, no. The oracle has nothing to do with the Elder Gods, though.
But that's where we planted the measure.
Did we?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the measure was planted on White Wolf Mountain. I mean, Ice Mountain.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Let's look that up.
I was a bit confused. I went to White Wolf Mountain. I mean, Ice Mountain first. Because that's where I planted the measure.
Yep, Ice Mountain.
Yeah. So I was expecting that one to be there. So what business does it have being on White Wolf Mountain?
I don't know.
Someone made a mistake.
Because in
That's
Fate of the Gods,
a big mistake.
You plant the measure on Entrena, outside the Tazar entrance, and by the archaeology camp in the desert. So those are three
and
of four places.
And then on Ice Mountain.
Yeah.
Not. All right, someone messed up.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see if there's anything in the FAQ about this, because, I mean, that really stood out for me. That was one of the first things that I realized in this. Because, you know, that was the first one I unlocked.
I mean, I'll admit, I was done with divination by the time that quest had come out. So I didn't go around and plant the measure everywhere. I'll get to that one day.
You're going to need to do that for 90 divination for ports.
What?
90 divination.
Oh, God.
Anyways, so if anybody knows about this, please do let me know or let one of us know, because it just seems very, very
Yeah.
Anyways, the reward for this quest was one quest point, 1,500 RC and magic XP, runecrafting. 500 experience combat lamps, two of them. You get the Kipple pet, and that's about it.
Yay.
Yep. You know, I was overly happy with this quest, but I'm just going to go with a 3 at the moment because of that little.
Wait, you were happy or were not?
I was happy with it because, like I said, the run-of-the-mill player is not going to do the post-quest reward for Fate of the Gods.
Oh, okay.
And, like, when you put it this way, this quest, Heart of Stone, is something that your friend Andrew is likely to do, but he's not likely to do Fate of Gods for a number of years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think of it that way.
No, I didn't. But it is good that they are getting the new people. They're at least attempting to tell them the lore.
Yep.
So.
Apparently Heart of Stone is a song by the Rolling Stones.
Yep.
And an album by Cher.
Oh, I bet you have that album, Shane.
He doesn't even know what Cher is.
Oh, I do.
Really?
He loves Celine Dion as well.
Not really.
Oh, Shane, my heart will go on for you. High five, Reed.
It's the only song anyone ever knows of hers.
Because You Love Me?
What?
One of her other songs.
Oh, okay. I was a little frightened there.
Alrighty. So that's it for Heart of Stone. Moving on to Thanksgiving 2014. Bit of a turkey hunt going on this year.
Turkey.
You guys partake in this already?
I haven't yet. I just know what you've told me.
Okay.
I haven't yet either. I want to do it over the weekend.
Okay, well, basically the way it works is it's an extension of the penguin hunting that so many people do. And if you head back to this May, you can listen to our supplemental that we did with Cat the Girl.
That was in May?
Mm-hmm, for their 300th penguin topic. So, and rightly so with this, Team Penguin put together a friends chat called World 60 Turkeys, W60 Turkeys, where you can go and get some help in the turkey hunt. There's 20 turkeys to find, spread out through the free-to-play and members world, 10 for each. And when you do this, you get a little title and a pet turkey.
Is it the stuffed?
No, it's, what is it, the Thanksgiver.
The Thanksgiver.
Yep.
Do we already have the thankful?
We might. I'm not entirely sure.
And now we have the stuffed. What are they going to do next year?
Probably the thankful. But anyways, it's a rather interesting little update that is one of those things that, you know, Jagex does get a chance to have some fun with, because all the turkeys are named after J-Mods. So there's a Mark Yay. Turkey that's, I mean...
Mark Turkey.
Yeah. That's a rock. It has his famous exam info, Wooters Out. Another one that was really stood out was the Infinity...
Wooters Out?
Yeah, because that's what he always said when he signs off from his clan chat, or friends chat, rather, or his videos. And there was also an Infinity okay. Turkey that says, he's stuck in a loop. Yes. Then, of course, there's the balanced turkey, which is, if Guthix had a turkey, this would be him. And the other notable one that I remember is the Michelle turkey, which spawns on the first floor of the little building north of the bank in Edgeville, which just happens to be the place that the World 60 Penguins group has their weekly meeting. And the reason it's named Michelle is because Michelle is actually in charge of the penguins. So... very fitting that that was put there.
Oh.
Yeah.
But
they got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. So, very fun little update, and just run around, find them. And their roam ranges aren't as big as the penguins, so it shouldn't be too hard to find.
Thank God.
Yep. Anyway, so that's that. You can do this through the 30th. So if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, you better get to it quickly. If not, well, I guess you'll have to get it next year.
Turkeys.
Yeah, and you get all the rewards from the previous years too, right?
Correct. Alrighty, that's it for the main update this week. On to some tweaks and fixes, perhaps?
Sure.
Alright.
Alright.
What do we got?
Well, first of all, you can now rescan your faithful summoning familiars to any of your purchased legendary pets.
That's...
okay.
Okay, I guess.
So, teleport scene, I have the correct teleport animation. And...
oh, hang on. Before you move on to this one, there was a bug in the previous week with the crystal teleport seeds where... they were using the Elven Solo Mod Store teleport animation.
Sweet.
So everyone got to see that animation for free for a while. But anyways, continue.
Let's see. So players dying in hardcore mode would now have their cause of death broadcasted and saved in the hardcore high score table.
Yeah, and there was a very funny thing about this that happened. With this and other things. Well, a couple things. So I'm going to first start off with that one evening in the past week here. There was a poor player with, I think, like around 1,700 total or so, who died from provoking bees.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, that high of a level, you got to wonder... was that death deliberate or not? But
oh, yes. Absolutely.
But there was...
because you know how to die to bees, right?
How?
You go to the beekeeper thing south of Sears Village and then just, like, try to gather...
honey.
honey, it's not something you can do accidentally.
Okay.
Whatsoever.
Right, because it's a...
Oh, I'm sorry, continue.
It's like 3 HP per click or so, something like that.
Yeah.
Or 30 now,
I guess. Was on purpose.
Now...
Basically, his tombstone will read, "Bid farewell to so-and-so. Death died from anaphylactic shock."
Yay.
Now, there's something maybe a little bit more... I don't know whether listing these on the high scores is funny or not, but this afternoon, the number 2 hardcore Iron Man player with a total level north of 2100 passed away. And that was DIY Oddish. Died from fighting...
Who was the first?
Wait, died from fighting a frost dragon.
And this person was the first to get the quest cape.
And I imagine you have some feelings about that.
Not really.
Okay.
You're dead. Nothing you can do about it now, right?
Yep, total level 2138, 80.6 million experience gained.
80.6.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a hardcore.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Hold on. 80.6 million. Let's take a look at how much XP I have after a decade and laugh at how terrible I am.
Probably have around 200 million.
Skills. I highly doubt that. Let's see. I have 116,360,073 XP.
Okay, so what's wrong with that?
Well,
oh yeah,
this guy got in what?
A month and a bit, you're right.
Yeah, although I'm not exactly the most efficient player, but...
You make your way around the world.
What?
You make your way around the world.
What does that mean?
You've done all the quests, and you've helped people, and you've made a positive impact.
Aw, thanks. You're pretty all right yourself.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know whether to laugh at these people on here who die from these things or not, but
oh, laugh. Laugh. Enjoy it.
Okay.
It's their fault.
Yeah.
Laugh even louder if they complain.
And didn't you say that
they know what they signed up for?
That this guy had something to do with you guys and beating you guys in questing?
No.
Oh, okay.
None whatsoever.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, let's move on. Okay. Shane's, well, doesn't really matter too much, Shane, but magic scriptures may once again be stored with the tool Leprechaun while equipped. Minimum number of players required to start a Soul War game has been lowered to 5 per team. Players will no longer have to take damage from Queen Black Dragon's fire waves after touching the final crystal. And yeah, that's it for now.
Woo! You know, Soul Wars being reduced to 5. I totally understand why they did that. And the one complaint I have about this is you are totally giving more ammunition to people who say the game is dying.
No, there's just dead content.
Yeah, I know.
And there are more efficient ways of training than Soul Wars now, right?
Yeah, exactly. But people are going to complain.
So people aren't going to do that.
People are going to complain and say, oh, the game's dying.
People are going to complain about anything. Okay. Haven't you learned that after playing for how many years?
Oh,
10?
I have, and we're going to be having so much fun with that next year.
What happened next year?
Well, yeah, what's next year?
Oh, that's classified for now. It's going to be so much fun.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I see. I think I have an idea.
I don't. I'm frightened.
All right. Anything else from the patch notes?
No. It's pretty average week in terms of patch notes.
Alrighty. Sounds good to me. Moving on from that, The polling update, reaction survey, Heart of Stone, it's only been out 3 or 4 days, so we really don't have any accurate picture yet. 13% said it was great, 4%, 11% okay, 6% didn't like it, 49% want to play but haven't, 6% want to play but can't, and 11% don't want to play it.
I don't want to play my cave.
Yes, that was a good show title, anyways. But 49% of the people voting in this have not done the quest yet, so that, you know, that just furthers the thing. Why are we running these reaction surveys the same week of content? I don't know. But
and, well, it's also Thanksgiving week, so most of the American brethrens are out munching and family and vacationing.
Well, you can have a quest and eat your turkey at the same time.
I mean, if you can figure out what's happening, you could do this in, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Did you use a guide?
Did I?
Yes.
I used one for the final puzzle.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I used a guide for the combining thing, because I didn't want to deal with it, try to figure it out. But everything else is like, all right, let's see what I got here. Spin. Nope, not this one. Maybe this one. Nope, how about this one? Spin this? Yay, got it. All right, where do I go now? Oh, okay. Although I had some couple bugs in that thing, though. A couple times the golem wouldn't appear. I had to travel back to Wizard's Tower.
Is that the same bug you had there, Earth?
No.
Okay.
It just wouldn't advance. Everything was dead, but it just wouldn't move on to the next part.
Okie doke.
Just the one with the wall thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's annoying.
Alrighty, so Well of Goodwill, that is going to be ending this coming weekend, end of Sunday. Currently, 488,699,894,247 GP has been donated to the Well of Goodwill by the players of RuneScape, equating $97,000 and 740 total.
Wow.
The leading donor is 15.4 billion GP from Dead. And
wow,
there's been 8,444 bonds donated so far, which is $39,686. So they broke their 100.
How many dollars?
$39,686. So they broke their $100,000 target.
Woot!
Great.
Yep,
they get a nice tax cut out of it, too.
We'll talk about that later, I bet. Anyways, seeing as December's right around the corner, there's two little things to mention before we head into December. First up is the Christmas Adventure. So for every day of December leading up to Christmas, there's going to be a little forum or social media based competition going on. So for example, on the first, a live stream in which you'll have a chance to win gold Premier Club membership and a spectacular in-game event. The second is
spectacular.
The second is a fun-filled forum caption competition, in-game events, another Christmassy live stream. And that's an example there. And then the third will be Spot the Difference with bond giveaways and the start to weekly photo challenges.
Spot the Difference.
Photo challenges?
Yeah.
Is that the Spot the Difference thing?
Yeah, so basically you get shown two pictures, spot the differences, find the Mod Mark picture in them, and away you go.
Find the Mod Mark picture?
Yeah. There's this little...
That guy...
There was this little contest done on this show that I watch, in which this guy came out with a holiday line of bobbleheads for his show. So you watch the show and you find the two bobbleheads and you have a chance of winning one. That sort of thing.
Mod Mark bobbleheads.
Oh yeah, that'd be good to have.
Can we please?
Yeah, I'd buy one of those.
It's a little creepy.
Why? Why? We need props when we do the podcast.
Yeah, but you're never going to do a video.
No, but I can have it here and get me in the mood.
Wait, what years ago? What was What was that prop you were going to have?
Yes.
Was it a signed thing?
No, it was the farming plushie as my character.
Oh, that's right. Your farming plushie.
Farming plushie. Plushie!
That you can, right. You can buy little clothes for and dress it up, you know, with farming cape, rune armor, that sort of thing.
How adorable.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where it went. Okay.
And finally?
And, finally, last but not least, we have the behind the scenes for December. And, I'm looking forward to Engineering Weekend again.
Yeah, that's true. Whole bunch of interesting things coming in December, like Dungeoneering Weekends, Elf Task Set, Dominion Tower Improvements. The Elf Area Task Set. It's going to involve the Underground Pass and the Temple of Light. Anyone want to bet that you have to reset the Temple of Light and redo the puzzle?
Hell, I'm not doing that. Hell no.
I don't care about that. It's the Underground Pass.
Oh, come on. The Underground Pass ain't too bad. I went through it.
You'll have to cast the Ibn Staff spell thing, which we have to go find and grab one again, fix it up, and all that stuff.
Mine's still in my bag.
Me too. And, I mean, I made it through the Underground Pass in 20 minutes when they graphically updated. And I did that for fun, so it's not too bad.
I don't even remember what the Underground Pass looks like.
Yeah, they updated it.
When?
Before Plague's End came out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good time to do it, I guess.
Yep. Dominion Tower, new bosses, all the bosses that have been missed over the past number of years are going to be added to it. And Rumble Mode, in which you can go in with a group of five people and
fight
the bosses.
Wait, what bosses are they adding?
Well, I mean, ones that have been added after the Dominion Tower. Examples are Grimson,
Garibmar, that's what you mean.
Vanstrom,
okay, gotcha.
That sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Oh, and of course, Yelps.
Yelp.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's good for people who liked him. They can have a place to go see him then. But anyways.
Or people who hated him. Which is more likely.
Yeah. All right. Premier Club information will be coming on Monday for that. And, of course, Winter Weekends, Festive Aura. Half-hour day of double XP. Skiller Weekend, Divination Weekend, Pest Control Castle Wars, and, of course, the Dungeoneering Weekend. And the final Boss and Slayer Weekend, which gives double drops on a wide range of bosses and Slayer XP.
Ooh.
See, you should have saved your darts and saved them for this weekend.
No, remember, they disappear first
of
November.
Oh.
So it was use it or lose it, and I use it on X. Still didn't get jack.
Okay. Yeah, and you got, what, like 100 million worth of stuff?
No, I got Torva gloves. They really weren't worth that much.
Hey, it's got
one of those 50 mil each?
60.
First world problem, eh, Reed?
It's not even a problem.
I have lots of money. It's still not enough.
And of course, how could we forget Christmas? Whole number of weeks. First week, helping Santa out with deliveries to NPCs. Cracker Paver, which you can build the giant cracker in Lumbridge. The Snoverlord boss in week two. And the third update.
Snoverlord?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Then the third week, the
Queen
of Snow.
Real good with those names.
Short mini quest to melt some snow elementals, and then you get your snowboard and you get to use that at the Lumbridge crater.
Man, they're just milking that crater for all it's worth.
Yeah, but I mean snowboarding, that had to come to RS at some point, right?
Did it really have to, though?
Yeah, we already got a sled. Why not?
I know.
Whee!
It's creepy.
What's creepy?
Everyone was always...
Just the noise he just made.
Oh, yeah. Definitely agree with that. Anyways. Okay.
All right, that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough of that. All righty. So moving on to that, we're going to move on to the questions now. And, you know, December is always a good time to be playing RS with double XP once a day. So have fun, people. And remember, it is that time of year where we all got to get together and maybe get something good from one of our best friends.
It's true that.
Are you giving me
money? No. No. Alrighty, questions. The first one is an audio question from Sunset Fish.
Hello, guys. Sunset Fish here. Or Jade Gizmo. Anyways, last night I had a debate with a longtime school buddy about the idea of Jagex raising membership prices. Due to the company's bad fiscal year, he wouldn't even link me to where he heard that from. He stated Jagex isn't making enough money, blaming ModMMG for running the game into the ground. That's why he is stepping down. He went as far as to say he supports the idea of bots coming back into the game. More bots means more membership, which means more money for Jagex. Which, the thought of that just made me sick. Now, I'm okay with paying an extra buck or two, but I'm not okay with bots coming back. What do you guys think? Thank you.
First things first. Jagex is profitable. They're a profitable company. That's number one. So you gotta look at that. Number two, ModMMG is not leaving because he's running the game to a ground. Quite the contrary. Everybody I've talked to who has a good sense about their head agrees that ModMMG has done great amounts of good for RS. And thirdly, nobody wants the bots to come back, not even Jagex, and here's why. The bots, if they come back, do ultimately, you know, incur a great cost on Jagex. Granted, they are paying for membership, but most of these bots are coming from places like China and whatnot, where they are using stolen and fraudulent credit cards, which actually cost Jagex more money. So Jagex does not want bots back at all. So
yeah, they don't actually get money from them. Because it's all fraudulent.
Yeah, so what you could do is just tell your friend to look up what happens with fraudulent credit card purchases and the fact that the company doesn't get money, and in some cases has to actually pay the credit card company on these sorts of things. So you can mention that to them. I mean, even if you look at the player counts and people complain that the player counts are so low, then okay, well, maybe the bots would make those higher, but at the same time, do you really want to be competing against automation for some of your primary resources?
Yeah, but if they're concerned about the number of players online, they're not concerned about the number of bots online.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a distinct difference there.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, you really got to ask where that idea is coming from. And quite honestly, to me, that sounds like the idea of one of these Jagex haters who always comes out of the woodwork whenever something like this happens, whether it be a membership price increase, removal of the wilderness and free trade, whatever. These kind of people always come out of the woodwork when these sort of things happen. And I mean, based on the prices of the Premier Club of what we're looking at, I'd say we're looking at another membership increase like before, where we're probably looking around $8.50 or $9 for each new subscription. But if you're grandfathered in, you get the old price, so just don't let your membership lapse.
Yeah. Oh, I should tell Andrew to get membership.
Yeah, if he's going to do it, he should do it now before the prices go up. But anyways, when it comes down to it, I don't know whether this is a real world friend or someone you've met online, but these are the kind of people that, you know, if you can't convince them of going one way or another, there doesn't seem like they're ever going to learn. So you might, anything else on that one?
No.
Mm-hmm.
That a no from you?
I said no.
No, I asked Ricky.
Nope.
Alrighty.
No, this guy who's ranting, he knows nothing.
Yeah?
Alrighty. Next one is from RT Fondance. Thank you, Sunset Fish. Now, Fondance says, just another couple of questions. Firstly, I want to say that it's awesome seeing last week's podcast episode named after my question. It felt really cool knowing I drummed up a fair bit of conversation. What did we name last week's show anyways? I forget.
Wow, I didn't insult the guy.
Well, I mean, I work a week at a time.
It was memorable at the time, but now I don't even know you.
It was Phineas Missing Skills.
Ah, right, of course. Alrighty.
Oh, is this about you deleting summoning?
No. Alright, well, question actually, one. Yes?
I'll finish up first. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, question one. With Harmony Pillars, do you all see yourselves training skills that you wouldn't train normally? I've got 99 construction just because of them this week, and I'm now training fire making for the first time ever because of them. By accident, yes, when I accidentally planted a crafting moss seed and a cooking moss seed, I ended up getting 200k XP of those, but I have to say in the future...
I thought you were accidentally going to get a 99 like Mike.
No. But in the future, I'm going to use these pillars for skills that I want to train. So, no for me on that one. How about you guys?
Is that a thing in the Elf City?
Yes.
Then, no, I haven't checked those out.
Okay.
I may in the future.
75 farming, Melier area, just south of the Herblore shop. Alrighty. You?
Okay. Honestly, I haven't been using any of the pillars. I've just been so busy for the past couple of weeks that I haven't really done much.
Okay. Number two, do you think there's any first-time achievements to get an RS? 200 million XP in each skill has been achieved, and a couple of weeks ago, I saw someone on Reddit that someone got all 26 skills at once. Also, WooX has done heaps of PVM stuff. Besides Iron Man achievements and new skills coming out, do you think there is any more achievements that can be fulfilled? I mean, yeah, pretty much every skill has been done in what you say. So, I mean, I think at this point we're looking at oddball achievements in terms of, oh, I don't know, maybe going based off of what Jagex gives us for the seasonal high scores, for example, like most herbs farmed in a week. That was an interesting one to see. A little bit completely out of my league, but in any case, I don't know, maybe soloing next on a level 3 character, if that's ever going to be possible. Because, I mean...
Yeah, that's not going to be possible.
People have done Araxor with no armor.
With no armor, sure. But
I guess you'd have weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Punch it to death. Punch it, Chewy, right?
Let's see, whatever achievements could there do. Hey, go for the Chompy Birds. You know how you're supposed to get keep hunting them until you get the best, get like, what, 10,000 notches or something like that. I just don't want to get an achievement of that. I don't know who has that right now.
Okay.
Who has what?
He's wondering who has the Chompy Bird achievements, all of them done.
Isn't that a requirement for the comp cape?
It is.
Pretty sure it is.
Yeah, so those were...
So anyone with that... And I've been meaning to for years.
I never went back there after that quest. I didn't see much point.
Yeah, back when I was training range, 10,000 XP was like, whoa. Now it's like, oh, I could get that in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
I mean, you could do an achievement like the largest cabbage drop, run a piece of cabbage all the way from Port Phasmatis to the Gates of Priftinus.
Can't do that.
Why?
Because you'd have to pick it up.
But it could be a group achievement.
No, like you would literally have to pick it up. There is a physical barrier that you cannot pass.
What do you mean?
The fence at Paterdomus.
Yeah, well, you could run...
And the gate at the God, what is that? The Arendar Pass?
Yeah, but I mean, like, you would open them and then there would be little breaks for the gate. But I'm just saying, have, like, a huge train of cabbage that goes there and is there for one game cycle and then they all disappear.
So this is, like, an achievement thing? High scores?
No, no.
How would you track
absolutely
this?
Not. It would be like that Super September thing on steroids that we did.
Yeah, but how would you track that?
I don't know. There'd be an easy way of doing it.
Really?
I imagine, yeah.
If you say so.
What else could there be? Fastest time of completing all the quests, but we probably already have something like that with the hardcore account. So.
And with the Quest Cup earlier this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't really think there's much that's not covered by the completionist cape, so things you could do first, I don't know. But anyways, talking of Reddit, why don't you like it, Shane? It's become a great source of information, and the community isn't half bad. What do you guys think of the thread about Jagex and their profits and margins that got recently posted? Request? Not a quest. Oh, okay, we'll answer number three first, but...
Shane hates it because it's too liberal. Next.
No.
That's pretty much the reason.
We need to be real. We need to quantify that.
Shane, no.
We need to quantify that. Let me quantify that in three sentences.
No, Trekkie, let him do it.
All right.
Then we can pick apart his arguments.
The
it's
number
more fun
one
that way.
Issue with it is that in terms of Reddit, if you go to a large, all-encompassing area, you end up with an environment where, I mean, the diversity isn't as high as it could be. I'm talking something large, like World News, for example. Or something like, I don't know, maybe one of the bad ones that you mentioned, like gaming. Or is that a bad one to mention?
Oh, God. Gaming is terrible. Politics is terrible. World News is actually really good. There's, at least from what I've seen, there's not much discussion. Like when there was the shootings in Ottawa, one of the commenters is also the top comment, was just editing it and kept adding in basically a live feed of everything that was happening. And it was, he did a very good job. Like there was a university site, whatever university is really near the capital. And they had something up for students and initially linked it. And then he took it down because he's like, no, this is going to cause stress on the servers. And that's important information that those students need to see. So he just made an imager. He just took a screenshot of it and put it on imager so people wouldn't look at it. Like, it's not bad.
Okay, now let me continue. The idea is that you get a bunch of people together who all think alike and whatnot. In a large group like that, one voice that is maybe a little bit different or thinks differently has trouble of being heard, get downvoted in a comment or something like that, even if it's a fair and valid point. So that's one issue with large ones. Then the idea is if you take it all the way down to something very tiny that's very, very niche, you got people who agree with you and who whatnot feel the same about you on the topic, but at the same point, there's no diversity in that. There's no diversity of opinion. And while you might have little, you know, little sub-agreements and whatnot like that, or sub-disagreements, it just doesn't feel worthwhile that way. It's like, it's hard to find a middle.
Can you give an example of something that would be like that?
No, I can't, not currently.
Then it might not exist.
Well, I'm pretty sure it does can exist, but...
Does can?
Does and can.
Well, if it does, as you said, it's small and niche.
Yeah,
so...
And
irrelevant in the terms of overall
and I
Reddit.
I would just like a way of seeing things that are on the fringe, you know, that the entirety of the collective
you're a hipster.
Online consciousness doesn't exactly agree with, but make fair and valid points, come up, surface somewhere on the website, and bring it in maybe through some other form of social signaling as well. So it's not as prone to, you know, the whole mass mob of the internet kind of idea.
Unless you're like posting very conservative things in, I don't know, our liberal or very liberal things in r/conservative, the only time you're really going to get majorly downvoted is if you're just being a dick, basically.
I don't know about that, but
it's the only time I've ever seen it happen. Or if it's something completely stupid.
And another problem I have with it is, you know, you're supposed to upvote something based off of merit, correct?
Somewhat, yes.
And I just don't think people do that.
Okay.
I just don't think people have it in them to be able to do something honestly like that. And you know, that's my main issue with it. And you probably read the whole social news experiment.
So, what is merit then?
Well,
and where do you see it not being upvoted?
Well, I don't use the website, so I can't answer, but I'm just speaking to the general trends of what people do and whatnot, right?
No, there are assholes everywhere you go. Some are good, some are bad. Just depends on where you go.
Exactly.
And just go with the fact it's too liberal for you. Let's just move on to number four.
And another major issue I have with it is the fact that there's even a need for a NSFW tag. In my view, a website should have enough of a moral code that they don't need to allow content like that on their website.
Allow content like what?
That is NSFW.
Why?
Because it's just not right.
Why not?
It's just
if you're
not
over 18, then why can't you do that?
I believe websites, just like people, need to have a moral code that needs to be followed. And
so
this is what I've said.
So you want them to follow your moral code. That's what you're saying.
Or at least not have NSFW.
Because their moral code is freedom of speech.
Yeah, whereas I would prefer something a little bit more tame. Because I believe I'm on record as saying I don't believe the Wild West of internet is the way to be going in the 21st century.
Shane, can we just say you don't like Reddit because it's too liberal for you and just move on to number four already?
No, because this is making you uncomfortable right now, and I'm happy with that.
No, I'm not uncomfortable. I just want to get the show done because I got things to do after this.
Well, I will give you the idea that we can move on to the point of about the Jagex thread, which, no, I, of course, have not seen. Reed, have you seen that?
Yes, and it was even in the comments, people were saying, no, this is dumb. That's not how profits work. It was just some, what's the word I'm looking for? Someone who does something to get attention.
Attention seeker?
Yeah, basically. It's attention seeking behavior for whatever blog posted that.
There's probably something about the prices and whatnot, how Jagex is going all wrong with this, given we've given them so much with microtransactions and everything.
No, and their revenue has gone down or something, but that's just because they've been putting money into that game.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why revenue goes down, because they're using it.
Yeah, revenue is money you're not using.
Profit.
Yeah, and that's at the end of the year. Your profit is revenue left over. Anyways, number four.
It's good that they're using that money.
Oh, yeah,
It's not just sitting there. It's like Blizzard literally has gold bars, right?
Yeah, they can buy their own country.
Probably could.
Yeah, I read this thing that Apple has more corporate value.
More cash on hand than the U.S. government, blah, blah, blah.
They had a higher amount than some countries' GDP in Europe. I forget what it was, though.
That's funny.
Yep.
That's what happens when you charge $2,000 for a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
For every laptop.
Nice high profit margins. And that's another reason I love Apple, too, so much is, you know, they're
ripping you off?
Well, it's very capitalistic, you know?
Oh, my God.
All right. Number four, requests, not a question. Last time we had one of these requests, it was from Brian. Earth. He gets five swear words a week. Can you please, whatever you have remaining right now, I would love to hear the massive long bleep Shane has to put in. You have four left.
What?
Oh, it's no, bold. Three.
I have
three.
Five.
No, oh, no. Okay, two. Got two left now.
All right, hold on. Let's see what's going on the rest of the show. What is this thing?
Reed.
That's
hey,
some
Reed.
Security thing. So, yeah.
Quit it.
Why?
Hey, you know one thing, though?
What?
I don't have a limit.
You don't have a limit? Oh, so you can just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, so piss so... Then we keep going. Hey, how are you doing? Barbara Streisand.
All right, so now I need to do like a back and forth thing, right? Like I start it and then you go off on a long diatribe at me, right? That's how we work, right?
You're an you know that, right?
Really, I am?
Okay, that's it. That was your last
all
one.
You got?
That was it. You're done.
I didn't say anything.
You asked for it, Shane.
Yeah,
you
well,
complete.
Yes. I have a duty to uphold this show being politically correct for all races who choose to listen to it.
What do you mean by all races, you racist?
No. Anyways, so there you go. It hopefully wasn't too bad, but thank you for expelling all those at the same time so that, you know, I only have to look for them in one place. Thank you, RT Fox.
No, you know, Risa has two left.
No, he used them.
We did it.
Yep.
I did not.
He did.
I did not.
He did.
He's trying to trick me into calling that what that really is. I know I'm on to you. I know what you're trying to do.
Alrighty. Thank you. Thank you, Fondants.
You're welcome.
Anybody else who has any questions, you can post them on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums every Monday, or you can email us audio questions to questions at rsbnb.com.
And for those of you who were thrown off by Shane's in the middle there, that is questions at rsbnb.com.
Alrighty.
I got your back.
Thank you. Moving on to tech news. We're going to start with something security-based, and that might exactly be a little bit intentional, let's just say. So there was this new little exploit, or tool, I guess you could call it, called Regin. And the idea behind it is that it's a spying tool that inserts itself into various computers around the world and returns interesting piece of information that these people are working on. Of note, it has mainly infected telecom backbones and private individuals and small businesses focused on the Russian
Doesn't
Federation
that...
and Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay. Thought you were about to stop there, and I was like, doesn't that encompass everyone?
No. No. So the idea is that this is a very, very sophisticated attack that's been going on, and the running suspicion is that it was created by a Western government in order to spy on the aforementioned countries.
It's the NSA.
It could very well be.
Trying to get in the cyberwebs.
It could very well be. You know, its sole purpose is data collection. It's very quiet in terms of what it does. It goes in through exploits, whether they be through servers or zero-day attacks. One supposedly came in through a Yahoo Messenger exploit or through...
people still use that?
I guess.
What?
I don't know.
Wait, Yahoo Messenger with this?
Mm-hmm.
With this one?
Yeah.
Hmm. Seriously?
Yep. Of course, web browsers through... Because you go to a spoofed website and you get the code inserted onto your system. But basically the idea is that it gets in, it's very quiet, And it doesn't do anything nefarious aside from collecting data. And the fingerprints have a Western government all over it.
Yay.
So I always, thought that something like this could, ultimately come about. We saw the first one with Stuxnet, which targeted the Iranian nuclear program. With this one, it looks as though the Russians are being targeted. Who knows what kind of information is coming back, but if this is indeed a vector that's been created by a government agency, well, I guess we're just witnesses to what's going on, albeit a little bit silently. So,
okay. I mean, there's not much we can do.
No, and
so it targets individuals who are involved with this, so it already has a destination.
Yeah, because of note, on this list of countries, there's no USA, there's no England, there's no Canada, there's no Australia, there's no New Zealand, there's no China.
There's no China, really.
Yeah, China
is not on
this list.
I feel like you would always want to get intelligence from China. Because they've got their hands in everything right now, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's very, very targeted in that regard. Before this...
So, how does that work?
Well, I mean, you just start looking for the backbones in those countries. You infect those, and then you look at the various computers as to what's going on in certain IP ranges or whatever where you can insert these things. So you'll see that, there's people in Russia who we want to get a look at. So we'll go to a server that they use and we'll spoof that either, some way intentionally by poisoning DNS maybe, or, actually using some exploit that hasn't been mentioned to the world yet. And then there you go. You're into someone's system.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is, and
rather frightening.
And I always say Internet Explorer is my second favorite browser on Windows, but chances are that's the way these things are going in.
Yeah.
But anyways, this is just a piece of information. It's unlikely to affect any of our listeners, but if you're at all interested in security on the internet and a glimpse at what the future of espionage might look like, give this entire document a read. Okie dokie, I believe you have the next piece of tech news for us.
Yes, something Shane will probably enjoy. And apparently there's a company that is thinking about making new types of elevators. And it's type of elevator that kind of runs on maglevs, sort of like the same way that high-speed rails kind of use, where they can go through magnetic strips. And the idea behind this is that instead of having an elevator that's pulled by cables and counterweights to go make an elevator go up and down, this thing is run by magnets, and they actually go in almost in any direction. Kind of like a...
Turbolift.
That's the first thing when this was shown to me.
What?
That's the first thing I said when you showed it to me.
I was there. Can confirm.
So what do you think? has this been prototyped yet, or is it just a theory?
Well, it's not really just a theory, because there was also in... what was the chocolate factory? What was that guy's name? The boy...
Willy Wonka?
Boy.
No, the other one.
Charlie?
The kid.
The Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, him. It's just Charlie.
I hated that book and movie.
Of course you did. You hate everything fun. Like children dying.
What?
They all died, except Charlie. Did you miss that?
Yes, right. I remember now. Well, it's been like years since then, right? So
you still hold a hatred for it, though. Okay, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. Well, that's good. Maybe this will be something to be used in.
But anyway, going on with that point, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, that also did this. So it's not new, certainly.
Well, I mean, in the real world.
Like, I suppose so, but again, that's no fun.
Okay. Traditional shafts can occupy 40% of a building's total footprint, and the limits of current designs usually that mean that taller buildings have longer waits for the next lift. Yeah, that's true. So you could have just one elevator network and in a large building, and you wouldn't need to worry about any of that. And you wouldn't, you'd be able to have one elevator that goes up and down and sideways, and you don't need to get off midway through.
Well, wouldn't you have multiple elevators?
Well,
just
yeah.
Within that, though?
True, true.
They would just avoid each other?
Yeah, you'd have one tube.
Yeah,
network.
That's kind of the idea.
Yeah. Sounds good.
It's got to be, yeah, until the power gets cut off. Uh-oh.
Or you have a tall enough building and you allow some of these things through a magnet issue to accelerate to the point of, oh, how 300 plus miles an hour, whatever that maglev train set as a speed record.
That would be so
I don't think that's going to happen.
Some grandma in Hong Kong is going to have a heart attack on to her home.
Yeah, so that's why these things are going to have to be tested, but interesting find nonetheless.
I would certainly hope they'd be tested.
Well, I mean, you're not going to put one in the building.
What an absurd thing to say.
Well, it's true.
You said that like, oh, it's not going to be tested. Oh, but it is simply because of this reason.
Well, of course. Anyways, moving on. Next one, Google should be broken up, according to European Parliament MPs. You guys think Google is too big?
No, it's a website.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't really break Google up in the same way that people wanted to break Microsoft up into, you know, consumer enterprise and gaming way back when.
Yeah, because I mean, that would be possible because you have the... you have the gaming division, then you have the OS division, then you have the software division.
Yeah, and
you could reasonably split that up into two or three things, but Google is Google. You can't really... Everything is ingrained in each other.
The only potential split that you could have at Google would be to split away the advertising business from everything else, and then...
But that's their only... revenue.
I know. They would have to find a different way to make the all their
stuff.
That's
kind of scary to think about, that the majority of their revenue is just advertising.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And are they the biggest tech company in the world, or is that Apple?
Money-wise, that's Apple, I believe.
Well... Okay, so second, then.
Yeah, I don't know what their rankings are, but nonetheless, they are huge. And, I mean, I think if you really wanted to, you could maybe find a way of running all the Google services away from the advertising stream, but they wouldn't be profitable in that way. They would, you know, just sap money from the company and, if anything, be neutral. And... I mean, this is, you know, the hypocrisy of the EU is they want things like this to happen, or at least signal that things should happen if it's all symbolic in any way. But when you look at it, what would we be using if it wasn't for Google? They wanted Apple. Competition from Microsoft in the 90s. They got it with Google, but now Google's too big as well. So, I mean... It just seems overly protectionist that, you know, a company that is in the U.S. runs a pretty ethical business, if I must say so myself, compared to other ones out there.
That's why we're right to break away from you guys. You're all a bunch of commies and you don't like capitalism. We were right.
Oh boy. Okay. But anyways, it's an ethical business, and I think that the EU really needs to have a look at this and see what the options are, because if it would turn out to be anything like the natural gas markets, well, then I guess you'd have to rely on Russian email.
Nope, no, please.
Exactly. No. We'd all be playing World of Tanks by the end of that day.
Ha.
Eh.
Alrighty, well, that's it for tech news. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed that. And if anybody ever has any tech news suggestions as to what you guys would like to hear about, just post it on the topic or send me a PM. I'm always open to tech news suggestions. So.
Right.
Skill of the month.
Almost up.
Yes, it is. It's fishing, isn't it? What do we got for stats?
I got this. I got this. Got this, guys. All right, so in first we have Parnassius, who's gained 4.2 million XP. This is fishing, by the way. Flash is in second and has gained 3.6 million XP, and Art of Dvorak is in third and has gained just short of 1 million XP.
And it's worth noting that the skill of month for December is hit points, or if you're in the modern lingo, constitution.
Is it still under hit points?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Good job. Way to keep up with the times.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Thank you for that skill of the month update. We got a couple achievements this week. First one's Mr. Bistro with 99 Smithing on the 27th of November. Congratulations to you.
We have...
And then,
go ahead.
And then Jason MRC with 99 Mining on November 24th, 2014. And Jason MRC with 99 Smithing on November 24th, 2014. And Ty Lur with 99 Slayer on November 22nd, 2014.
Congratulations, Woo! Everyone.
All right. And now something,
Friends,
Shannon.
It's that time of year, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Yes. So, when we began this episode, I mentioned that this was one of my favorite episodes of the year to record. And why is that? Well, that's because I want to tell all you friends out there, every friendly RSBNB Update listener that has ever talked to us, anybody who visits the forums... Anyone who enjoys this podcast, anybody who has been made to laugh by this show this year, in any way whatsoever, it is time to start submitting clips for RSBNB Update's 2014 Clip Show. And in case you're just joining us this year, the Clip Show takes place at the end of December, in which we go over the highlights of the year, whether they be funny, outright hilarious, or just sad. And we talk about them and and listen to whatever the hosts have been saying.
What? What's so funny?
Or just outright sad. I don't know why I found that so funny.
Well, I mean sad in the way that we find them funny for some sad reason.
I see what you did there. You're making fun of me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this would be a prime candidate for one. If anyone ever wants to submit one. I maintain my own selection of clips as I move through the year and edit the shows, so I normally have a pretty good bank to go with, but any others that you guys can submit are just extra, and we love those ones so much because they meant something to you guys, and that is the kind that we love sharing the most. So you can send us your clips. Just visit to
all the shows that I've been on.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
And you can send your clips in to update.rsbnb.com/clips, and there's a nice little form there. Enter in the episode number, the time, describe the clip, and if you want, include your name and we'll give you credit for it. So we look forward to seeing what you have, and like I said, that's the favorite show of the year for me to record.
Yeah, because you don't have to edit it, you just shoot it and go.
Exactly.
So, Reed, come on in. You can swear all you want.
No, I already asked, and he won't let me.
Oh, poor thing.
All right.
Yeah, no, I live a hard life. Woe is me.
Well, thank you, everybody. So please do be sure to send those in. Anyways, pick of the week.
Yes. Well, anyway, Shane, something very good is going to appear next year around this time period. Can you guess what that is?
No.
Google Fiber.
Oh, I wish. That would be awesome. No, no, it's not that. So, next December, it's going to be a new Star Wars film. And here's the link to the official teaser. High five, Reed. The fact Shane is silent right now, you can hear the disgust in his voice.
All I gotta say, all I gotta say is that Star Wars fans can have J.J. Abrams. We don't want him back on the Star Trek front. Oh, and I should also point out that Star Wars is now owned by Disney. How does it feel to have one of the world's favorite sci-fi franchises owned by the company that made Toy Story?
What's wrong with that? Toy Story was
Pixar
awesome.
Pixar made Toy Story, bud.
But Disney's a part of Pixar. Or Pixar is a part of Disney now.
Yes, and
so,
that's and
one of the best movies of all time.
Okay, maybe maybe that was a bad example then.
Yeah, you literally picked the best Pixar movie.
But I
You're
didn't
like,
really...
Hey, you really want them to be part of this? Yes.
I really didn't
yes,
enjoy
please.
Toy Story then.
You don't enjoy anything.
It's a cartoon. Why would he enjoy it in the first place? Yeah. Anyway, Shane, I for one am looking forward to Mickey Mouse holding a lightsaber. But anyway, yes, here is the official teaser for Star Wars, The Force Awakens. So have a look. Comes out next year. Let's do it. Woo!
Woo!
Take that Shane just enough this week, didn't we?
Yep.
High five,
job all
Reed.
Done, sir.
All right.
Okay, what have you guys been up to? Let's start with you, Earth Reed.
Oh, God. I've driven close to 700 miles so far this week. 700? No. Oh, that's not right. I'll have driven nearly 1,000 by the end of the week, that's for sure. But just going back and forth between here and my grandmother's college, here is home. So that's been fun.
And just a little bit of an FYI, that is still less than the round trip distance between Edmonton and Vancouver by car.
Okay.
Wait, say that again?
1,000 miles is less than the round trip distance of between Edmonton and Vancouver.
Yeah, but those are in completely different provinces.
I know, but still. Those are they're the largest cities that are the closest, just to give you an idea of how vast we are up here. Anyways, continue.
I'm saying I could have won up if you want. Had Thanksgiving with my grandmother and great aunt and uncle. Now I'm at home recording the show. And I'll be heading back to college on Sunday.
Okie doke.
Woo!
And you, Mr. Star Wars Pick of the Week, yes.
I, for one, am looking forward to this movie, and I'm looking forward to watching the third Hobbit movie later on. This week, let's see, what did I do this week? What did I do? I did my ports. I actually got around to making some more Dragonstone jewelry that I had a nice stock of. Went to the kingdom, grabbed my stuff, and I did my Citadel. And I did a little bit of the agility yoga stuff at the Elf City.
The thing where you just stand there, it's weird.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No,
that's it.
All righty. As for me this week, major accomplishment on RS. Two of them, actually. I received my Sea Singer's robe bottom, so I only need the top now. So that's very nice to have. Almost got the full set of all three level 85 ports armors. And
Why didn't you get the top first?
I already had the top.
You said that you were waiting for the top.
I'm just
waiting.
That's
all that was left.
Oh, I meant the top of my head. The head.
The helmet.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you're talking sense. Good job there.
All right. Mm-hmm. And the other one is that I finally, after countless number of laps at the Heffen Agility course, received my crystal acorn. So I now have a crystal tree planted, and I have once again farmed everything that is in existence on RuneScape.
Woo!
So yeah, that was very fun when I got that.
Oh, I bet.
Yep.
You can just imagine how excited you were.
Yeah, and you're going to have to do that too one day if you want that many, or if you want a crystal tree. Because the
why
only
would
other...
I want a crystal tree?
Well, here's why. You get 50k XP for planting it, and then every day you get 15k XP for harvesting the fruit.
That's stupid.
Why? It's 15k farming XP daily.
What's the? I know that's stupid. Stupid as in why? That's easy. Goes against the spirit of everything.
Well, you could do it more often, but you need more crystal seeds, and they are pretty rare. Crystal implings, thieving, killing.
Wait, where are these planted? Fruit tree patches?
Tower of Voices.
Oh, so how many can you have total?
One. One at a time.
I don't understand. Oh, I guess I would just dig it up and replant it then?
Yeah,
is that what you were saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So every day you just
harvest. How long does it take to grow?
Instantly.
That's stupid.
But here's the thing. The seeds are so rare, it's actually fine.
I guess.
Yeah. Anyways.
It's too easy. Easy escape.
I mean, you gotta get...
Easy escape.
You gotta get it somewhere. So, anyways, that's it for me this week. And I think that means RSBMB update is done.
Woo!
Okay.
All right.
Another wonderful show with me.
If you say so. Alrighty, everyone.
The best.
We'll see you next week. And remember to please send those clips in update.rsbmb.com/clips. It's that time.
You can always
of year.
Just go re-listen to another episode with me on it. Find all the funny parts in it.
I'm sure someone will do that. But anyways, see you next week, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Happy Thanksgiving.